So you've got a business, but what about a brand? The difference? More of you. Wix gives you the freedom to create your website, own your brand, and do it on your own, exactly how you envisioned it. Experience limitless customization. Boost your creativity and efficiency with AI tools for every part of your business journey. Scale up with built-in SEO, e-com, and scheduling features. Put more of you in your business. Go to Wix.com and do it all yourself.
Running a business is hard work. Building your website shouldn't be. With Wix, you can express your ideas, give direction, then leave the heavy lifting to AI, from site creation to branded content and images. Have fun with the details. Customize what you want the way you want. And manage your whole business from a centralized dashboard with expert AI tools. Build, scale, and enjoy the incredible results. You can do it all yourself on Wix.
What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker. With a website that fits your unique vision, let your ideas flow with AI that guides you, but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Go to Wix.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
It's time for more Karen Reed vodka math, everybody.
Wow.
Who's excited?
Special kind of math, right?
This is like, it's kind of like that, what's the stuff they've been trying to teach to kids lately that are in the last
The new math?
The new math. The Common Core? Is that what it is?
Yes. Yes, the Common Core.
When you're a parent, you're like, what the hell is this? This is like 30 steps too many. That's kind of what Karen Reed has done with her vodka math. And we're going to hear a lovely compilation of clips that were put together by the prosecution about the amount that she drank that night. This is a new clip. And so they're like, they're drilling this in. They're accenting everything hard with Karen Reed's own contradictory words. But before we get to that again, this segment brought to you by KR Vodka. KR Vodka, where memory fails, confidence prevails. KR Vodka.
Oh my God, it's not funny. I'm sorry.
Oh, it is funny.
It is funny. It's tragically funny. It hurts.
It is tragically funny because it's so utterly absurd. So let's go right to that and take a look at this clip that the court got to see today involving Karen Reed's vodka math skills.
And again, if you're not good at math, you don't have to play along.
Yeah, here we go.
She's not either.
The audio is what's important.
When you walked out of the bar, how many drinks had you had?
I had probably about four. And not four that I completed either. I didn't drink maybe more than a few sips at the waterfall.
And four drinks you felt fine to drive?
Yep.
Okay. So let's put that down. Clip one.
It was a little bit hard to hear. So how many drinks are we at now?
She said she only had sips. She had four, but only had sips of them at the waterfall. So
okay,
four,
well,
but only
what does a sip
sips.
Equal?
A 1.75 liter of vodka.
Jeez.
But only sips. Okay.
Sips.
So
okay.
Let's start with that. That's the first part of our equation here today, kids. Let's continue.
Clip eight,
on.
Please.
Okay.
And is the level of intoxication pretty high here for everybody?
It's happy.
Yeah.
It's
you'd had a lot to drink, right?
I wouldn't say I had like a normal amount.
Was it
like a vodka tonic every 40 minutes?
Okay. And so are you feeling like buzzed? And I'm not judging, I'm just trying to get
a sense. Buzzed.
Yeah.
Clip 9, please.
Okay, vodka tonic every 40 minutes.
And how long were they there?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I'm going to look that up while we listen to the next one.
Every 40 minutes. Wow.
How long?
Every 40 minutes. Yeah. That's just crazy.
Five or six or four.
Here we go.
The drinks that they were pouring me at McCarthy's, which is where I consumed most of the alcohol, was the weakest vodka tonic. It tasted just like old soda water with lime. Not that I need it to be a martini, but it might have had a splash of vodka in it. So I said, John, this drink tastes like it has no vodka in it. And he said, just get a shot and mix it yourself. So each drink was being counted as a double. So I would get a vodka tonic, and then I would pour a shot into it, so that would come as two. Frankly, it just felt like a regular cocktail. It was just a really weak pour, so I asked for a shot. So for my taste, it just tasted like that's the normal strength of what a drink should be. So I had maybe two or three that are being counted as four and six. And I don't know. I felt fine. I felt like I was buzzed. And then there was one drink, the last one that was given to me, which I would have counted as three, but they're counting as my sixth cocktail. The guys that we were with bought around shots, and they gave me one that I didn't drink, but I poured it in my drink. So that's now my fifth and sixth drinks, with the seventh, which is a shot that all the men did, and I poured it. So that one glass that I'm holding, that I go into the waterfall with, has three drinks in it, a vodka tonic and two shots. And which is why John said to me, you're not leaving that drink here, like you haven't touched it and just poured a bunch of vodka. He's like, just take it with you, which was something he always did. So then I go into waterfall and I put that drink down and I socialize most of the time. So that would have been my fifth, sixth, and seventh drinks. Then John orders me a drink at the waterfall that I don't drink, that he takes with him. And then there was a round of shots that Chris Howard bought that I did take. So that would have been the night. But I did not consume 9 vodka martinis or take 9 shots, depending on how you count it. And the last two drinks, I didn't touch.
It's like, that's the best with 7 minutes to explain how much she had to drink. Okay, she got there at 8:51. So they drank from 8:51, and then they went to the waterfall, and they left there about 12:11. So that's roughly 9 to 10, 10 to 11, three hours. So doing every 40 minutes a drink, so that would be what? That would be like 4 to 5-ish drinks?
I think so, yes.
And then if you're pouring an extra shot in all of those,
that counts as probably 6 to 7.
No, if you're doing 4 to 5 drinks, that would be 8 to 10.
Oh God, yeah. I told you I'm not good at math. I'm in broadcasting.
So that actually would mean 8 to 10 there, because it's kind of a word problem where
hated algebra, so don't.
This
I don't
not
care.
Algebra. This is just this no. is like a this is like one you'd see like in second grade. It was like. If Karen goes to the bar,
right?
At 8:51 p.m. and stays there at the first bar till 10:54 p.m. and then goes to the next bar and stays there till 12:11 a.m. and she drinks a drink every 40 minutes and adds a shot to each one, how many drinks is that?
Oh, the way I'd end that problem is, how drunk was she?
Well, enough to be possibly in dangerous limits where
yes. It
were like near stomach pumping levels.
Yeah.
To like,
but again, she was very dose. Used to drinking like this.
Yeah, that's true. So she had the liver of a champ. Okay, there's more. Okay, so I got all that written down because we'll go through this at the end and do our full Karen Reed math problem. I need one of those boards where I can write on it, you know, like
a
sticker board or something.
Little whiteboard, maybe.
Here we go. More Karen drinking clips.
And I'm not as clear as I would be if I hadn't been drinking. I mean, I had drank, so, and that led me to question, like, could I have hit him? Did I bump his foot or hit him in the knee? Did I incapacitate him? I mean, I always drive with my music blasting ever since I was 16. And I know when John got out of the car to go into Fairview, I know my car was blasting because when I got in it the next morning to go look for him, I had to immediately turn it down. And I don't know, it's stormy. I have had a few cocktails. I didn't black out, but I wasn't as lucid as I would have been if I had gone to bed at 9 and drank a tea. But I was fuzzier than I would have been if I had had no alcohol.
Clip 11, please.
So we didn't get any numbers in that one.
No, there is no numbers.
How did you feel after that night? When you got in the car, did you feel like you could drive and feel how
much? I wouldn't have gotten on the expressway. I wouldn't have gotten on the expressway at 12:15 on January 29th. I mean, it was quiet. The roads were very quiet. You can see it on the videos. And I was going, you know, when I've had a few drinks and I drive, I always drive extra slow. So I know my alerts aren't as sharp as they should be. But I shouldn't have been driving. But I don't think I was driving. I know I wasn't driving recklessly. I mean, I've got plenty of video of myself driving all over the place. John's did put my car in John's garage, which is
so much rationalization.
I had a very oversized SUV. You see me. There's a video of me driving through the intersection when we leave Waterfall to go to Brian Albert's, and I was always taught by my father, even when you have a green light, you always should tap the brake, and you don't know who's going to run red. And I see me doing that multiple times between 12 and 1 and 5 and 6 a.m., so I know I was driving safely, not as safely or as alert as I would be if I had no alcohol, but I was not driving recklessly by any measure.
By any measure.
Can I ask?
You're blitzed drunk and you're not driving recklessly by any manner in her mind. I mean, that is the definition of reckless driving. You are being extremely reckless. But because she tells herself she's not, because she didn't hit anything.
Well, yeah, it's justification.
Oh, wait.
I'm not drunk. I can drive.
Okay. So, Karen Reed vodka math. Here we go. Clip one. Okay, so we start. She said she had 4 drinks, but only sips. Only sips out of each one. So if we're to believe that, maybe one. We'll start with basically that, because that's kind of what she was playing it down. I only had sips out of. Then why are you getting more drinks?
Give her the benefit of the doubt.
Why are you getting more drinks if you're only sipping each one? Wouldn't you just hold on to that one? Why would you have 4 of them in front of you if they're all full?
Yeah.
Okay, Karen. 2 vodka tonics every 40 minutes. And we did the math on that. That would be 8 to 10 drinks. Because we start out with, it would be 4 to 5 technically. Probably closer to 5. If we're doing that in that time window. So if you're doing the math and she's adding a shot to every drink, that's 10. And we'll just leave it around 10 because she does in the clip talk about having a shot as well. And then there was another drink where there's like an extra shot added to that one. So who knows how those were all consumed. But I think we're safely in the 8 to 10 range of drinks in the course of 2 hours. Is basically what we're talking about.
Which is a lot. She is a petite woman. What is she like? 5'1", 5'2"?
I'm
4'9". You give me 3 drinks, I am 3 sheets to the wind.
Yeah.
Don't even try.
Yeah.
Done.
You're not a pro like Karen.
That's true.
You gotta
that is true.
Set, you know, come on, you're in Wisconsin. Let's set some goals here.
Well, you'd think. You'd think.
Yeah, yeah. And then spend the rest of your life going, God, I wish I didn't grow up in Wisconsin. Because right? It's like, these habits really are not good for you. Okay.
It's true.
So two or three being counted as four and six, she says. And she talks about a shot. And then she talks about, so it goes in this one clip. In this one clip, she starts out saying maybe she had five, six, or four. And then she starts talking about putting the shots in there. And then she just talks about only having two or three drinks. And then that's being counted as four and six. And then she talks about the shot. And then when she does her math again, it goes to her five, six, and seventh drink.
Wow.
So if we're talking seventh drink.
Yeah.
Is that with the X? I don't know if that's with the extra shot in her. Anyway, we'll keep it around 10 because I think she went beyond that. I think she would have passed out. Clip four, she's just talking about, you know, she's a little fuzzier when she drinks, you know, not, it's not all there. And then clip five, wouldn't have gotten on the expressway, but also was not driving recklessly after basically having about 10 drinks in her over the course of 2 hours. And if we're judging by her still being over the legal limit at 9 a.m. the next day.
Right.
They estimated yesterday was pretty high. It was like and forgive me if I'm off on this, but it was like at least like 0.18 to like 0.228. It was something like that. It was high. And when you're like getting above, you're felt like that 0.2 number and above, that's dangerous. That's where you get to it blackout territory. That's where you get to, you keep going, your body will start shutting down. And you certainly don't remember anything.
Again, this is a professional drinker. You know, this is something she does on a regular basis. It sounds like they all do, you know, and I'm just confused that she actually can keep track of how many drinks she had.
Well, it doesn't sound like she can because either this is math that she's literally just being herself and can't keep track of it, or the story, but it keeps getting worse.
Yeah.
She started out with, if she just stuck with the original one, maybe had about four drinks and I just sipped them. Okay. I mean, that's not insane. That's, you know, you're still over the legal limit in 2 hours without a doubt, but mm-hmm. It's not reckless. When you get to about 10 drinks, that's reckless. And then get behind a wheel, that's insanely dangerous and very selfish and completely narcissistic because you're thinking of no one other than yourself. Because there's other people out mm-hmm. there in the world beyond you, Karen. And if you're 10 drinks to the wind, you could hit them and kill them. You know, kids, families, people, your boyfriend. So listen,
you could hit them and not even know that you freaking hit them.
So listen, as someone who has lost their grandparents because of a drunk driver and never met them, you narcissistic bitch, fucking take responsibility for yourself. This is pathetic. And the fact that you sit there and you laugh about it and you're, oh, now you know, it could have been this, it could have been that.
It was a weak drink.
I won't say the word, but I'd call you a C right now.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Because that's what you are. You are a disgusting C word.
Drinking that much and laughing about it.
And then
about getting behind the wheel of a car.
And being charged with murdering someone. And all the evidence points to that your ass did this. And you're just you're a
it's
sick,
not funny.
You're a sick mother effer.
It's not funny. And even let's just say that she did not end up harming John. Let's say she didn't do any of this. It's not funny
either
to
way,
drink that much and get behind the wheel of a car.
Either way, it enrages me. And it should enrage anyone who's ever lost someone to drunk driving. The way that C word is sitting there and laughing and joking about it. And she's just fine and rationalizing it left and right. And she wasn't dangerous or whatever the hell she's trying to placate the world with. Jesus.
You know, and
at this point, I didn't care if she hit him. Like, just lock her away. She's a danger to society.
You know, and I want you to think about something. I took a little road trip before I got back, before we started recording this. I took an hour and a half road trip, and I cranked the music too. I mean, we worked in radio for how long? music is our lives. Well, I had the music cranked, but then I came into a construction zone. Do you know what I did? It was a one lane with the orange pylons on either side.
You plowed down a bottle of Everclear.
No.
And said, this is going to be fun.
I turned the music down.
Yeah.
Because I needed to concentrate. You know, she's not in her right mind. She's got the music cranked up. She's intoxicated. Everything is coming. It's snowing. There are so many things that are distracting her from what her job is. And her job is hands at 10 and 2 and drive. And
my
focus.
Dad always told me, you got to tap the brakes and da, da, da. You know what? When actually modern cars, you don't need to do that.
No.
So glad you're up on that. But the level of just levity that she has for it. It's one thing, we're on the outside here, making light of the absurdity of this. You're the one that's charged with murder. You're the one that seems to have all the evidence pointing to that you knew you hit him or had some sort of knowledge of it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And you're just yucking it up because you got a camera crew in there, and aren't you just the princess for a day, Karen, when those cameras come by? Jesus.
It's her moment in the sun, you know?
I hope to God they convict her. And I'm just, I don't even care if she hit him. She's just a disgusting human being. And that's the problem with this, because you're going to have jurors that feel that same way. You're going to have jurors on that jury that believe that she did hit him. And you're going to have ones that are kind of on the line. But because she's demonstrated herself to be such a repulsive human being, they're just going to be like, fuck it. Like, yeah, why not? I want to go home.
Yeah. And I think you're right.
And especially the way that they are just exposing how they've treated this community and these innocent people. It's appalling. I'm almost like, I've been seeing online, people are seeming to question Alan Jackson. Like, is he playing for Karen Reed anymore? Or is he on the other side? Because his crosses are going so insane, where they're just basically getting the witnesses to repeat shit like, I hit him, I hit him, I hit him, and just basically keep backing up their own stories. And the stories are not good for Karen. They're not going anywhere into the Karen territory. There's no gotcha moments here that make any sense.
No, and he's a really good attorney. He is very skilled. So it's like, dude, what are you doing?
Have you given up? You know,
you just want to go home. Are you like a juror and you just want to check out?
I'm starting to wonder if he's just had enough of her, and she's lied to him enough with her story and put him in this position of representing her, and she can't keep her story straight, and she did all this stuff, and she just keeps opening her mouth and saying more weird incriminating things after court. Maybe he's just like, let's get you in there a little faster.
Yeah. It's hard to say.
I don't know. I don't know how you defend her anymore. I mean, I think the jury's probably sitting there going, why are we even here?
Yeah.
Like she confessed. She has the broken taillight. She knew about it before anybody knew he was there. Seems fairly open and shut, honestly. But then you have, if the police weren't so shady about this, if Proctor never opened his damn mouth, I think she'd probably just be caught charged with manslaughter. It'd be a horrible accident, and that's where it would be left. But now,
I agree. But now
we're dissecting the hell out of this and hearing about all of the things that happened that night and how narcissistic she seems to be. Then it starts to look like, oh, I don't know if you did this on purpose, but I do kind of feel like you knew he was there and then you decided to leave. That's what makes it second degree murder.
Yeah, it's got an ugly feel to it. And I
like just panicked. I don't want to be caught. I can't be bad. I can't be in the wrong here. You know?
Yeah, I do.
I think that's
totally see it.
I think that's what's going on.
How much longer do you think we have on this case?
A lot. We still have the vehicle data information to hear about. We still have, there's going to be more from the prosecution being brought up. That vehicle data, that could be I mean, I feel like there's already been several nails in the coffin, but that's a new one that we haven't really had yet. And I think if that shows a strike to the vehicle, it's done.
It is done. Unless they could say that she hit the curb.
And they will.
They will.
They'll say something, you know. Well, I think one of the Elberts came out there in camouflage as Frosty the Snowman and
dressed as a dinosaur.
Exactly. You were there. And,
right?
And then,
I was there.
And then hit the taillight with a baseball bat. Same baseball bat that was used with Lori Vallow Daybell in the murder of her husband.
Yeah, maybe Lori Vallow was there.
Alex Cox came back from the dead and did it. Yeah.
Anything's possible at this point. Jeez. How did we get here?
Do you think she'll request a conjugal visit with Turtle Boy?
Oh, boy.
Or will Turtle Boy request a conjugal visit?
Do we have to edit that out?
I don't know. I mean, it's conjecture. I'm asking the question. I'm not saying
just
they would or wouldn't do it or would do it. I'm just asking the question because there just seems to be a good connection there. I'm saying, you know, maybe that could be a good, healthy relationship. You know, they seem to be tight. Maybe this is, you know, I think
just because you're friends with somebody doesn't mean you're doing things with them.
No, I think they're both single, though. I could be wrong, but I think they are. I mean,
well, trauma bonding, it's a thing.
Yes, and it's trauma bonding.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, think about it, guys. It might be the only option you have. Press subscribe wherever you're downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case or the many others. Let us know what you think in the comments. And, you know, if you're a FKR and all you're going to do is spout, I'm just going to block you. So don't bother. Let us know what you think. And we will talk again real soon.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is, but he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.